Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Taylor Swift 1, Apple 0. Okay, maybe not Apple 0, but the company definitely had to back down to pressure from Taylor Swift over a plan that wouldn't pay artists any money during the trial period of Apple's new music streaming service. Swift, on her Tumblr page, said Apple's plan to withhold compensation for the first 3 months of Apple Music was not fair, and Apple backed down. Joining us now, as he does each Monday, to discuss some of the things in the news is Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, are you surprised that Apple backed down to Taylor Swift?
Well, it was the world's biggest company versus the world's biggest star. And at least in this particular battle, it appears that the star won. You described what happened here, I think, pretty well. Apple was on the verge of launching this new product, Apple Music, where users can pay for access to stream just about any song in the world. And in order to lure customers, Apple's giving users a free 3-month trial to see if they like it. The catch, though, is that Apple wasn't going to make any money from listeners, so they decided they weren't going to pay artists for any of the songs that were streamed. And you know, Taylor Swift wrote this open letter to Apple saying that the terms were, quote, shocking, disappointing. She made the point, quote, we don't ask you for free iPhones. Please don't ask us, musicians, to provide you with our music for no compensation. And within 24 hours, Apple reversed its policy. They will now be paying their artists in the first 3 months of this trial period. And it appears that the company has submitted to the whims of the world's most famous pop star.
Well, and remind us how the royalty system works for streaming music, because it's not just Apple that is going to offer something like this.
Yeah, the math of royalties is pretty fraught. But the most important thing for listeners to know is that streaming is not lucrative. Whether you are streaming on Pandora or Spotify or Rhapsody, these services pay out very little money to the music industry, partly because users are paying so little to them. And just a sliver of the money they pay out to the music industry goes to the musicians themselves. So what I've said about these streaming services before is that it's best to think of them as essentially marketing for musicians. They're not paying much money, but it is pretty good advertising for their work, a great discovery tool for figuring out what band do I want to invest more deeply in? What band might I want to buy merchandise for? What band might I want to go to see in concert? That's the benefit, I think, of these streaming services, because the real money in the music industry right now, with the downfall of recorded music, is in these live events and in merchandise.
So you're saying it's a good advertising platform for these artists, but not necessarily that you would hear them on Spotify or on Apple streaming service and then go buy the rest of their album. It's just that you might go and buy a ticket to see them in concert.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, a nice way that it was described to me is that the music business sort of had a remarkable century in the 20th century when it was able to monetize copies. But you know, you didn't have copies of music in the 17th century, 16th century. You know, Beethoven didn't sell a lot of copies. And right now, in a weird way, we're sort of back to that era because copies aren't worth much anymore. Internet has created such an abundance of music that the individual value of every piece of music has gone way down. People can always find if music gets too expensive for people, they can always find ways to listen to it essentially for free by downloading it on a BitTorrent, by listening to it on YouTube, by listening to it on Spotify for free. And so there's simply too many options, I think, for the music industry to try to create the heydays, the 1970s all over again. You have to live with a technology that's been established.
And we remember that Taylor Swift was the one who stood up to Spotify and said, I'm pulling my music from Spotify and you're going to have to buy it if you want it. Why is it always Taylor Swift that's the one standing up on this issue?
Yeah, she's like the chief lobbyist for artists everywhere, it seems. You know, in the Wall Street Journal, she wrote this this widely read piece that said, quote, "Music is art, and art is important and rare. Valuable things should be paid for." This did not encourage Spotify to change the fact that it has a free service that is ad-supported in a way that Apple will not. For Apple, after that three-month trial period, you will have to pay for their streaming service. But this gets at the fact that I think, you know, musicians are sort of are torn, I think, in the current economic climate of the music industry. Because on the one hand, it is easier than ever to be heard as a musician. But it's quite difficult to make money from each individual spin of your music. And so that's why I think of the internet and these fleet of streaming services as essentially marketing for musicians that they hope to convert into real money with concerts, merchandising, and licensing.
That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. And of course, the big date coming up here is June 30th when Apple Music, the streaming service, is going to be rolling out. Derek, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
And Robin, How is the weather there in Boston?
Well, it's fine. It's warm. But I was thinking that when I was in San Diego, there was no water. You're in Texas where there's
plenty.
Plenty.
There's plenty of water, although I have not seen significant flooding. And somebody said to me when I checked into the hotel, oh, they're just saying it's worse than it is to get more tax money from the federal government.
I don't know
if it's like that. But anyway, Here and Now, a production of NPR and WBUR. I'm Jeremy Hobson in Houston.
I'm Robin Young. Here and Now.